Come on to my house, I'm gone.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Robert Goodman. Robert is the owner of Robert Goodman Winery located in Arcata. Robert, when did you first get interested in making wine?
Well, thanks for having me. When I moved to California back in the early 1970s, it seemed natural. I lived in San Francisco, and we just went up to Napa and drank wine. Of course, it was a different experience. Me and a bunch of friends sat around one night and decided to make wine. And we went and bought 500 pounds, and it was like the classic combination of a bunch of strong-willed people, and we didn't really do a good job. But I was intrigued enough with it that I continued on and just kept making wine in small batches for the next 10 years. For about 10 years, I just did it as a hobby. And I didn't really start seriously thinking about making a winery until the early 1990s.
And what was the leap in terms of batches? When you were making batches when you were a home winemaker, what was the size batch and then what was your first year's
I would
batch?
Make, you know, a 30 or a 60-gallon barrel, which is about 500 to 1,000 pounds. My first commercial year, I went from making about 120 gallons to about 10,000 gallons.
So when you were making it as a hobby, was that what everybody got for Christmas presents? They got wine?
It's interesting. When I first started, I actually was looking to be in another business because it just life changes and I had some new kids and economic motivation. I approached some people with some ideas for some other businesses, and they weren't interested in those businesses. I'd been winning blind tastings for a lot of years, and it was nice. You know, I enjoyed it, but I didn't think much of it. But my friends actually said if you make wine, they'd provide me with seed money. And I thought they were crazy, but I went for it.
And what sort of wines do you make?
I make Cabernets and Pinots and Chardonnays and Zins, the fairly classic ones. You know, when you're small, you don't have a lot of choice. You can only make one or two varietals. Now that I'm getting bigger, I can play more. And I'm starting to experiment with some of the unknown grapes that are out there.
Are there any in particular that are kind of attracting your attention right now?
I like Bordeaux blends, so I'm looking into the different aspects, you know, Cabernet Franc and, you know, just the different things that you would blend in there. And I'm also interested in, like, Rhone wines. There's so many different subspecies of grapes that are out there from all over the world now. So it's becoming an international business, and it's crossed quite a few borders, and there's a lot of influence from different regions. We in California have such a great growing region. We can match anybody's grapes in the world, so there's no reason why we can't make or exceed anybody else's wine in the world.
Where do you get your grapes?
Well, I get about 30% of my grapes come locally, and I buy as many grapes as I possibly can locally. We only have about 1,000 or 1,500 acres of vineyards in the county, and then I get the rest of them from Lake County, Sonoma County, and Napa County.
Is Humboldt County a good place to grow grapes?
Here on the coast where the winery is excellent for the winery. It's horrible for growing grapes, but if you go east the Willow Creek and out towards Orleans, and Orleans is where I get a lot of my grapes. It gets hot and you do have microclimates even in that region. And I also get grapes south and along the Eel River in Alder Point.
How do you source your grapes? I mean, do people who have vineyards, do they know to come to you and they say, hey, I've got these great grapes and I'm growing them and I think you'll want them for your winery? Or do you kind of go out and find places?
Well, I try to find people interested in growing grapes. If anybody's interested in growing grapes, I try to make a deal with them that I'll buy their first 3 to 5 years of production so they have a market and incentive. Because when you plant, it takes 3 years before you even break even. And when I find someone that wants to do that, then I try to buy their grapes. There's not a lot of perfect land. We grow really great Pinot Noir in this county. The rest of the grapes, you know, the jury's out on. But the Pinot will match any Pinot in California or Oregon. That has a lot of potential.
Are people in the industry pretty forthcoming with information? I mean, of course, like, you know, in the technology business, you know, people don't share information at all. But do you think people in the wine growing business, do you think they share information pretty easily and readily?
Having been in both businesses, the wine business is actually most of the people in it are happy. It might have something to do with the alcohol, but people enjoy what they do and they share. Like, I could tell you exactly how I make wine, but since I make all my decisions by the flavor components, you're going to make a different wine if you have the exact same yeast and grapes and stuff, and you're going to make different decisions along the way, and you're going to produce a different wine. So you're not a threat. Well, it's a mixture of chemistry and taste. You kind of have to know when you do something, like when you start and stop as fermentation or which yeast you choose, what's going to happen. So experience helps. The odd thing is, like, I've been making wine over 30 years. Really, all that means is I've had 30 opportunities to make wine. And in most other professions, you get 30 opportunities in a year. So it takes some memory, and it takes a lot of patience.
How big is one batch of wine?
I try to ferment in one-ton batches just because of the natural physics of it, the heat dissipation, and the temperature of where I ferment. Sometimes I do it in 2 tons. I mean, bigger wineries would do it in 20- and 30-ton tanks. You can do it as small as a trash can, but you have heat issues there. Heat is your biggest thing. Yeast produce heat when it eats the sugar, and you don't want too much or too little.
So. Is Humboldt County a good climate to make wine in?
The ideal climates for a winery are not the ideal climates for growing grapes. And, you know, until, you know, the later part of the 20th century and the 21st century, wineries were where the grapes were grown. But now that's not the case. I seek out the best grapes I possibly can get from wherever they come from, because there's an art to the grower who grows the grape. And then I try to take what they've done. Basically, wine is, from the Roman times, it's spoiled grape juice. And all a vintner does is control how it spoils. So if you like my wine, you like the way I controlled how it went from that incredible, wonderful nectar when it came off the vine to what it ends up as, which can be pretty wonderful. But it's never as incredible as that first grape.
Could you just walk us through the process of what a year at the winery is?
Well, the grapes arrive in the fall, and anywhere between September and November, depending on the year, the growing season, and actually the growing season from the year before, because the grape set for next year has already been set this previous spring. Then the weather conditions about the heat in the fall, or the rain and molds and stuff like that. So we get most of our grapes in the fall, and then we process them. White and red are different in how you process them, when you press, and when you inoculate them with yeast. And, you know, they're all inoculated whether you actually control it or not.
And that would be just with wild yeast, right?
Well, all yeast is wild. I mean, some of it's been, you know, it's like heirloom tomatoes. Somebody decided that they were going to cultivate this one particular seed until they have this one particular thing. That's what happens when you get a yeast. There's a lot of wild yeast that you don't want to use. Not all yeast are good yeast. There's also bacterial fermentation that goes on in wine that happens with a total acidity. And, you know, that's part of the mad science behind it all. And that imparts flavors as well. And there's a lot of bad bacteria out there. There's a lot of good bacteria. So it's a matter of how much do you want to have faith in your final product being good or bad for someone. Just because it's a wild yeast doesn't mean that it's going to be good for you. Mm-hmm. People spend thousands of dollars getting rid of wild yeast out of their bodies. I use as many organic grapes as I can, whether certified or not. I try to ascertain with every one of my suppliers whether I want to put their product in my body. That's my litmus test. I would recommend anybody to know their food chain, to know their producer.
Do these big truckloads of grapes just kind of start pulling down the streets of Arcata and pull up to your winery? Or
sometimes.
How does that work?
Well, we have a truck. We go get them, uh-huh. And sometimes they're delivered. I buy from 7 different growers. It fluctuates between 5 and 11. Some of them are fancy, and they have fancy equipment and large holdings, and they can deliver. Some people, they have a broken pickup truck, and I have to go get the grape. If they produce a grape that I want, I'll find a way to get it. And yes, they do arrive in the middle of Arcata. Uh-huh. I try to have them arrive during the off hours so it doesn't impact traffic on I Street that much.
And all of the grapes are crushed and processed there?
Yes. All the grapes come in big 1,000-pound bins, and then we take them from there. We run through a stemmer crusher, and we either press them at that point and inoculate them to make white wine, or we put them in, mix the entire batch together to make red wine, and press it later after it's fermented. And then after everything's fermented, whether, you know, and pressed, we put them in big holding tanks and let them settle for about a month to a month and a half. And then we put them in the barrel. And then depending on the varietal, they're staying in the barrel anywhere from 6 months to 3 years. And then depending on whether it's a reserve wine or not, I'll hold it for another year or two to truly let it meld. I try to release my wines when they're ready. It's getting harder as I get more popular. In a good year, like last few years, we've been producing 3,000 to 4,000 cases a year. We have the capacity to do more, but I haven't found the grapes that I want. Last year, we only produced, I think, about 2,800. It was just bad conditions. And this year is a beautiful year, and I'm not sure yet what we're going to be doing. We bought the old Humboldt Machine Works building a few years ago, and the winery is actually in the building, and that's where we produce all the wine. And then the street frontage is on the 10th Street side. We have a tasting room. We've taken the other side, and we're actually about to launch a restaurant. You can buy and taste any of our wines down at the facility. They're in a lot of fine restaurants. They're in a lot of, the normal wine outlets.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of speaking with Robert Goodman of Robert Goodman Winery. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything.